Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Divine, all blessed, peace and love, joy and prosperity. You are listening now live to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Elogun Oloye Hoodoo Obeya Bokor. sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective, understanding that all is truly and indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veils, for it is all just an illusion and a test, and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my ever-living reality. It is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, my works, my demonstration along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth. And it is my personal place of power and understanding. The place from where I begin, the place from where I realize and crystallize all my endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine, all blessed reality. And so it is. Ashe. Today is July 7th, 2018. Mayafa 2018. And I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you live, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum universally from this working temple of the House of the Divine Prince. Thai potions, Hoodoo Central, Black Hawk Voodoo in this legendary, historic, beautiful, and most enchanted city in America, New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors, the land of my father's ancestors, and those who came before me along this spiritualist Hoodoo Obeah life path and journey, passing down the great Obeah stick along with the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, spirits, rituals, and minerals. I'm humbled, honored, and appreciative by those who do join me here at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time for the Power Lunch, Revolutionary New Orleans Hoodoo, Voodoo Secrets and Recipes, here on blogtalkradio.com/the-divine-prince. My live listening and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967, 347-215-8967. When you are ready with your question, comment, or request, complaint, insult, it doesn't matter. Just give me a call at 347-215-8967 and do press the number one on your telephone keypad. This will alert me that there is someone waiting in queue, and I will open your mic as soon as I can catch my breath. Also, be mindful that my website, where I can be reached, utilizing various means, virtually 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, operating in 360 degrees of well-documented revelation and manifestation, is www.houseofthedivineprince.com. Baramaniko, Baramaniko Indora, Baramayako, Baramayakanda. We are here to continue our conversation today. We were talking about voodoo and it being the oldest organized documented religion in the world. We can look to Kemet, to Nubia, to Mero, to ancient Egypt for evidence of the presence and activity involving voodoo. There was a tendency of the Egyptian physicians and priests to associate magic with medicine. We even understand that in European culture, alchemy and science were one and the same for many centuries until we evolved into this more Western mindset that we operate in today. From such origins, there arose and commit great physicians, surgeons, specialists who acknowledged an ethical code that is passed down even until today in the Hippocratic Oath that doctors, physicians, medical personnel commit to, take an oath to coming into their profession. The Greeks derived much of their medical knowledge from Egyptian physicians around 750 BC, and the influence of comedic medicine was so great on European culture that even today, Egyptian concepts still have their signature in Western modern medicine. I also wanted to digress, if you will, just for a moment and bring forward a message that I never intended to bring. Spirit will often take over and decide what I should be talking about at any given time and place. And today, particularly as we acknowledge the Maiafa here in the city of New Orleans, I want to talk about the false narrative of unity in our community. And we often see the demonstration of this false narrative in large gatherings such as this, large events such as this, high holidays such as this, while the body of our community moves forward day by day by day by day without a voice, without acknowledgement, without being heard, without even humanity, the acknowledgement of our humanity. I wanted to talk about voodoo and ancient Egypt and ancient cultures that birthed, fed into this dynamic system that we now know as voodoo. But today, Ojo Abamita, this day of three meetings, this day that we acknowledge the power of Ogu and Ochosi and Orisha Oko, the ancestors oppressing me to talk about the false narrative of unity in our community. When we talk about why can't we come together? Why can't we organize for ourselves? Why can't we have our own businesses? Why can't we? Why can't we? Why can't we? And the immediate response is always to blame the white man. It's always to blame white supremacy. It's always to blame the system. We don't look at ourselves and our own behavior and how that translates into the lack of commitment to these organized events, these organizations, these movements that profess to be about the benefit of the community and the individuals in the community. Ego gets in the way. Personality gets in the way. Judgment gets in the way. And I dare say for many of you, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, and the mindset that accompanies those religious beliefs finds its way into our community when we start talking about coming together, when we start talking about organizing, when we start talking about representing ourselves and each other at the communal level. I tire of seeing the same people doing the same thing all the time and being elevated and praised and worshiped while your women, your children, your disenfranchised and disconnected men, your gay members in your community go unacknowledged, at the minimum, unacknowledged. at the greater degree, there is a active movement to silence people, to remove certain people from representing, from being seen as a voice in our community. There's a silent movement to orchestrate based on ego, money and finances, who controls the grant to eliminate those powerful voices at the grassroots level in our community that you and I identify with and connect with and represent for us each and every day. Many of you know I've been on my ancestral journey now since 2007. I've done both the Ancestry.com. I've also done a 23andMe, and I'm now waiting on a third, a little bit more complicated test result to get back to me. And in that, I see symbols of what I'm talking about today, the false narrative of unity in our community. Even amongst families, bloodline families, there are secrets, lies, fables, mysteries, myths that continue to exist within our families that prevent us from coming together. Often, these myths and lies have nothing to do with us. They originate in generations before us, our parents' generation, our great-grandparents' generation, our great-great-grandparents' generation, and so on. And so the separation is allowed to exist. The lack of communication is allowed to continue. The lack of coming together is allowed to manifest based on this false narrative of unity in our community. And we post Black Power, Marcus Garvey, Hebrew Israelites, Nuwaku. We post all this divisionary, divisive stuff, religion, the way people have chosen to live, or people living within their present reality, sitting in their truth. And we use all these things, all these reasons, all these excuses, not to manifest the very thing that these movements proclaim to be representative of. A righteous man acknowledges righteousness. I don't care what the religion. A righteous man acknowledges righteousness. I don't care what the lifestyle. A righteous man acknowledges his family, acknowledges his community, acknowledges his bloodline, particularly as we reference and regurgitate ancestral honor and worship. We love to say that we honor the ancestors. We love to post those memes. We love to recirculate these cultural images that represent a sort of pristine, idealistic way of viewing community and the unification of the community. There's too much bad blood, bad feelings, bad information, bad spirits, because I can cleanse all that other stuff. But then when we get down to just bad spirits, bad souls, bad energy, we have to then look back into the demonstration of those that came before. Now, I'm aware that a great deal of the confusion in my family and on both sides of my family, my mother's side and my father's side, originate at least two generations before us that are living right now. And so many of you are operating on nothing. No information, lack of information, misunderstandings based in misinformation. And we pass that on to our children, our children's children, our children's peers, because your children's peers, by all means, absorb your demonstration. Our parents cannot always be present to model the right language, the right behavior. But your friends and your friend's parents, and your close-knit family who's present in your life have the opportunity, consciously or not, to project that, to mirror back that. Religion is top of the list in terms of bondage, in terms of our people being able to not come together, not see eye to eye, not think in a healthy and clear and realistic way, because we are trying to live up to, manifest to these words put down by other men that precede us, particularly when we think of men in positions of power and leadership. 20 years ago, we didn't have the technology that we have today. 15 years ago, we did not have the technology and the access that we have today to such deep information, DNA, for instance, ancestral records, which include burial and marriage certificates, and all these things are now at your fingertips if you are computer savvy, tech savvy, at your fingertips if you have bothered to consider having your DNA done, having your ancestry and your 23andMe and all the other services out there, just having that done. I mentioned on yesterday's show, some of you operating in fear. You don't want to know. And you know that the truth will upset your present illusion of reality. You know that the truth and the proof will upset your present way of being, which is often steeped in philosophy and religion and the words of men. Lie can't really be manipulated when we're talking about tracing ancestry. We ain't talking about creating other humans. We're talking about using your DNA to get greater depth of information about who you are as a person, as a member of a family, as a member of a tribe, as a member of an ethnic group, as a person whose story is recorded therein in the DNA, and the travels have been recorded and stored in that DNA. My regular listeners, you've heard all this before. For my new listeners, I preach and stand on DNA. I don't believe that we operating in ATR, African traditional religious systems, can do so authentically in today's society with the availability of today's technology, and then not or refuse to have that done, to pay attention to that information. I've probably talked to 20 unknown family members to me in the last 2 weeks, either by phone or by email or by instant message. For me, it has been greatly empowering to know, to get clarity, to get an understanding, to realize and be able to see and experience the at least DNA connection of family, first on paper, first in your test results, and then to have that begin to manifest as you reach out. And I originally began to reach out because the DNA often, and particularly with Ancestry.com and 23andMe, will reveal a match list, meaning those people whose DNA patterns match yours, intersect or connect with yours. They show up as a DNA match in your test results. And so you begin to see lists of family names, even locations in some instances that are new, that are foreign to you, that you must now take that information and research and do some studying. When I think of voodoo in its most ancestral form, and particularly when we go back to Kemet, when we look at the Memphite doctrine, for instance, the primate god Ptah conceived in his heart everything that exists, and by his utterance created them all. he first emerged from the primeval waters of Idun, primordial Heel. Closely following the Heel, the god Atum also emerged from the water and set upon Ptah out of the primeval chaos, contained 10 principles, 4 pairs of opposite principles, together with 2 other gods, Ptah, meaning the mind, thought, and creative utterance, while Atum joins himself to Ptah and acts as Demiurge and executes the work of creation. So the water is the source of all things. The water in the planet, the water in our bodies, the water is the source of all things. And creation was accomplished by the unity of 2 creative principles, Ptah and Alum, A-L-U-M, Alum, the unity of mind, or Nous, N-O-U-S, with Lagos, which means creative utterance. Atum was sun god or fire god. Atum became Aten, A-T-E-N, during the time of Nefertiti and Akhenaten. Opposite principles control the life of the universe. The elements of creation were fire, Atum, and water, Nun, the earth, Ptah, and air. The gods whom Atum projected from his body were Shu for air, Tefnut for moisture, Geb for the earth, Nut for the sky, who are said to have given birth to 4 other gods, Osiris, Isis, Seth, which is the opposite of good, and Nephthys, which is the unseen world, as opposed to Isis, which is the visible world. The Egyptian concept of cosmology, like the Chinese doctrine of yin and yang, and the East Indian systems of Tridosha, Pitta, Vata, Kapha, offered a comprehensive explanation of the natural forces of the universe. There were other ideas which the Kemetic people developed, such as the doctrine of the soul. They believed that the soul and the body were not 2 distinct things, but 1 in 2 different manifestations or aspects, just as form related to matter. The soul is a power which a living body possesses, and it is the end from which the body exists, the final cause of its existence, if you will. By the time of the 3rd dynasty, during the reign of King Djoser, Imhotep, the great African physician, had expanded on much of the earlier theories of medicine as the real father of medicine. He diagnosed and treated more than 200 diseases. Imhotep and his students knew how to detect diseases by the shape, color, position of the visual parts of the body. They are also practiced surgery and extraction of medicine from plants. Imhotep was also known for bringing words to how the blood circulates through the body 4,000 years before it was known in Europe. His sayings and proverbs, which embodied his philosophy, were handed down from generation to generation. And he is best known for saying, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. So the timing of spirit cannot be underestimated, cannot be overestimated. We cannot continue to deny the presence of not only voodoo, but our ancestral knowledge in ancient times, as well as today in modern society. Imhotep also promoted health by public sanitation, by circumcision of males, no, that was not created by Jews. And by teaching the people the frequent ipsis of the enema. The historian Diodorus Siculus tells us, in order to prevent sickness, they look after the health of their body by means of drenches, fasting, emetics, sometimes every day and sometimes at intervals of 3 or 4 days. For they say that the larger part of the food taken into the body is superfluous, just passes through. And that is from this superfluous part that diseases are engendered. So when we look at the false narrative of unity in our community, many are still operating out of sickness. Many are still operating out of disease. Many of you have found your new way, your new path, your new religion, your new way of viewing things based out of the pain of trying to repair, connect, and fix that idea of unity. When I look at social media, particularly Black social media, and all the groups and all the organizations and join this and then we tag, 200 people, in a post trying to validate ourselves through others, trying to validate what we think we know and understand as knowledge through others. And in some cases, then trying to enforce that knowledge on other people, trying to project that knowledge onto other people. The concept of universal harmony is characteristic to African thought. Africans believe there is a harmony in the universe, the circling of the planet, the tide of the earth and the water, the growth of vegetation, the lives of animals and people are all related. All this is in the universe and has emitted from the same source and the same universal mind. So as I often say, and I learned to say it from my younger sister, Wapani, all paths lead to the same source. If you are seeking truth, if you are seeking balance. So if your truth creates elitism, if your truth separates you from the rest of your community, if your truth allows you to believe yourself somehow different than, separate from the rest of the community, you're not really operating in African truth at all. I have another friend. I'm not going to call your name out because you and I don't really have a beef. I every now and then come through and say something on your IG, your Instagram, but you and I really don't have a beef. My understanding is you're young. And I'm speaking to all the younger people who are listening to me right now. I know I have an audience from 12 to 80. 12 years old to 80. I know I have a 12-year-old listener. She communicates. So I know there are other young people listening to me as well as older people who are listening to me right now. Enjoy your youth. Embrace your youth. But baby, do your study. Do your study, do your homework, do your research. Social media likes sensationalized posts, sensationalized photographs, sensationalized information that subsequently goes viral and everybody clicks on it, and it gets passed around. Often the subject matter is overlooked. People don't test the subject matter, don't really read often what's going on in the subject matter. Don't make any attempt to internalize the subject matter so that you can dissect the truth from it. And this idea of no religion has been circulating now since at least 2007 in social media. This idea of anti-religion, no religion. And often when you are talking about religion, my brother, when you are posting about religion, You are indirectly posting about Christianity and Islam and Judaism. You're not talking to Africans at all. You ain't talking to Black people at all. And when you all keep reposting that, reinforcing that message, you are also sending out a false teaching. And the reality is, we created religion. Africans created religion. Kemet created religion. Voodoo birthed religion. All the things that you all are trying to separate yourself from have their anchor in white supremacy, have their anchor in slavery, have their anchor in the mindset that furthers white supremacy and slavery. And so therefore, your posts and your opinions are often directly from a Christian perspective. Even if you think you be an anti-Christian, but you're absolutely reinforcing the Christian mindset through the back door, but you're still reinforcing that mindset through the stuff that you are posting. And my brother, that's why I pulled your coat. That's why I'm attempting to reach you through love, because I believe I understand what you're trying to do. I believe I understand where you're trying to go. And it's where all of us, to some degree, are trying to go. And we would love to see this unity, this can we all come together and get along and move our people forward. But the reality is that many of us, particularly those leaders, are only interested in themselves, only interested in ego, only interested in your own pocket, are only interested in how that popularity then translates into some manifestation within your life. You ain't thinking about me. You ain't thinking about my sister. You ain't thinking about my brother. You ain't thinking about my grandmama, my granddaddy, my cousin. You're only thinking about yourself. And what is it about unity in the Black community that requires someone else to be subjugated beneath you and beneath your understanding? What is that, and what's Afrocentric about that? Well, I can hear somebody say, well, we always had tribal wars, perhaps. We always had ethnic battles, perhaps. My people, the Fanti, would be an excellent example. The Fanti were the first West African ethnic group to embrace Christianity wholesale. And they did it because, and of course I'm trying to now speak for them in that time period, but I believe they did it for power, for money, for resources, and they believed that the colonizers and the missionaries and the oppressors would leave them alone. And it ultimately led to a war between the Ashanti, the Fanti, and two or three other ethnic groups that existed in that region at that time, ultimately to be absorbed by the Ashanti. So many of us can, you know, trace our ancestral root back to the Ashanti and the Akan ethnic group and religious system in particular. But when you do your deeper homework, you realize that mom's family came from one place, dad's family came from another place, and then they married and became that one ethnic group. And then that one ethnic group was then amalgamated, synchronized into the larger, stronger ethnic group of that time. And in this case, that would have been the Ashanti. So when we look at and study Yorubic medicine, Yoruba culture, the Orisha romance, again, we are looking at a culture that was strong, that went to some form of war or battle during a particular time in history. And of course, we're looking at colonization and the Middle Passage. And so Yoruba became the dominant force in Nigeria. Don't forget that there's at least 300 other languages and connections to other ethnic groups that exist in Nigeria. The Hausa, the Igbo, as well as many others. So when we romanticize Kemet, when we romanticize Orisha, what you're doing is really showing your ignorance about who you are and where you came from. I was guilty of the Orisha romance. I was guilty of only seeing, studying, researching, looking into Orisha and Yoruba culture until 2007, while still evacuated, sitting in Memphis, trying to figure out who I was, trying to make a connection to my family in Memphis, the Broomfields in Memphis. Yeah, I'm calling out your name, and you all ignored me for 3 years, made no effort whatsoever to connect. And that then gets not only passed down through the generation, but we then incorporate that into our behavior. So we tuck it away, we say we don't think about it, but then we become bitter and become callous and become angry, and therefore making that connection to the community becomes just that much more difficult. So we've got to decide to put religion, I'll almost say it, to the side. I'm not asking you to put religion to the side. I'm asking you, where is it in the rank of importance to your people and the unification of your people? That language that we all use commonly in social media to try and present a black face, to try and present a black power, black empowered consciousness. Where does that fit into the equation? If we can't talk, we can't communicate, if you don't take the time to get to know who I am, if I don't take the time to get to know who you are, many of my listeners know that I'm an adult dealing with Asperger's. You'd be surprised how many people here locally in town either don't know that, don't understand that, or have misinterpreted who I am and my behavior based on that lack of information. So while you all are trying to build a fence to rope off your community and isolate yourselves as leaders and as elite owners of the legacy that belongs to all of us. And I say again, my great-grandparents, my great-great-grandparents were here, been here before you even thought about Louisiana, before you even knew what a New Orleans was, before you even knew who Divine Prince was. My great-grandfather fought for the state of Louisiana. Now understand, if you were black, white, Creole, Poisson Blanc, well-to-do, working class, making it, and you lived in Louisiana pre-Civil War time, and you considered yourself, as many of you do today, committed, local, born Louisianians and New Orleanians, and you fought for the Confederacy. And because of our isolation of the concept of Confederacy, I talked about this yesterday. We go from Confederacy to house nigga, field nigga, and have created a false narrative based on whether you were house nigga or you were a field nigga. Well, you were a field nigga, so you did A, B, and C, and somehow you were tougher than the house nigga, who we assume did A, B, or C. And the reality is, we all were fighting for survival. We all were fighting for survival. And if you had a piece of bread more than the next guy, then you were grateful in the moment. We weren't judging each other on house nigga, field nigga, who been on this plantation longer than the other. And again, for Clay,